ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing Lalita Sahasranama, the thousand names of Devi. So as we have already discussed, in Lalita Sahasranama, Devi or Tripura Sundari is equated or one with Nirguna Parabrahman, and that's what many of the namas of Lalita Sahasranama itself speaks about the same. Says that Devi is of the nature of consciousness. Devi is Parabrahman. So Brahmane Namaha, Brihati Namaha. There are many namas which speak about Devi as Nirguna Parabrahman. And the aim of learning as well as chanting Lalita Sahasranama is as a sadhana, as well as a mananam, a way of doing mananam, a way of doing reflection on the truth. So Vedanta speaks about the three steps or three processes of Shravana Manana Dhyasanam in order to realize one's own nature of Brahman. So Vedanta or Vedantic truth itself, or the truth that is propounded in the scriptures, can be encompassed in just two terms. Like, one is the world and the other is Brahman. So those are the two things that comes to, like, the finally, the entire analysis of the world, analysis of our journey, everything can be finally brought down to these two words of Brahman and Jagat. And as to what, or like, what is the relation between Brahman and Jagat, and what is Brahman, the nature of Brahman and Jagat, that has been explained by Shankara as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So Brahman is real, Jagat is Mithya. So if that is the case, then what does it matter for me as an individual? If Brahman is real and Jagat is Mithya, what does it matter for me? It matters because Jivo Brahmaiva Na Paraha. So Jiva, the Jiva or the individual self that we all are, that is one with the reality of Brahman. So that is the essence of all scriptures. So Shankara himself says in Brahmajnana Vali Mala that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Na Paraha Anena Vedyam Sat Shastram Iti Vedanta Dindima. Anena Vedyam, by this Vedyam is known what? Sat Shastram. Shastram or scripture about Sat. Sat Shastram, that scripture which speaks about truth, about reality, that is complete with this. Thus says Vedanta. Iti Vedanta Dindima. Thus says Vedanta. So that is ultimate truth. Or like, in two words, Brahman and Jagat. We can call it as Brahman or Jnanam and Karma. We can also call it as Drit Drishya. Whatever way we use or whatever terms we use, these are the two entities. One is Chit and one is Jadam. And it's the more and more we concentrate on Chit, the more and more we concentrate or contemplate on Chit and work towards being Chit, the more we will get out of the troubles that are caused from Jadam or Jadavastus. So the problems that we face is due to samsaram or lokam itself. So being, when a person is identified, when a person considers himself part of the world, then the troubles out of the world, anityam asukam lokam, the troubles that are present in the world, that will be affecting us. But the moment we move from the Mithya Jagat to Satyam or Satya Brahman, then we will be affected by the qualities of Brahman, which is Sachidanandam. So that is what is called as Moksham. So the more and more trying to contemplate or concentrate on Brahman, after negating the world, after getting away from the world, after negating the world, is the process, is through the three steps of Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. Shravana means listening to this truth, listening to the scriptural truth, listening to various scriptures with the import on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha. And Manana means when a person uses logic to analyze as to how the world is unreal, how Brahman is real, how I am Brahman. And Nididhyasanam or Anusandhanam is when a person is clear about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha and contemplates more and more on this entire truth, and he more focuses towards Brahman because he knows that the world is unreal. So how does Lalita Sahasranama serve to be a mananam, work for mananam? Lalita Sahasranama or the various namas of Devi speak about Devi as Brahman and give various logic, internal logic or characteristics of the world as well as Brahman in the form of Devi. So the more a person understands each of these namas, it becomes mananam. And when he does recite Lalita Sahasranama, it is a sadhana which purifies the mind. It not only purifies the mind, but it also becomes a nididhyasanam. So it becomes both mananam nididhyasanam as well as a sadhana. A sadhana that wards off evil or evil things in the world as well as helps in the spiritual path. So that is the purpose of learning the namas of Lalita Sahasranama and chanting. A person who doesn't know the import, know the meaning of the namas of Lalita Sahasranama will be doing it just as a sadhana. Sadhana will help in purifying the mind, that's it. So Chitta Shuddhi or purification of the mind, there it ends. Purification of the mind doesn't ensure knowledge. Purification of the mind doesn't ensure that a person moves from the Mithya Jagat to Brahma Satyam. So in order to do that, we need to have focus. We need to have scriptural knowledge. We need to understand the essence of scriptures. Therefore, if a person just chants Lalita Sahasranama, it just purifies the mind. Such a person will become great people, like various singers or politicians or people who have control over other people. They are good people, yet they aren't realized, they are not in the spiritual path because they have Chitta Shuddhi. Because of Chitta Shuddhi, they gain a lot of other siddhis, but they don't have knowledge, therefore they aren't realized. That's the problem that happens with most of the people who chant Vishnu Sahasranama. They'll just chant Vishnu Sahasranama without knowing the import. Vishwam Vishnur Vashat Karo Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Kimekam Devatam Loke Kim Vapyekam Parayanam. So many of the namas of Vishnu, as well as even before the various shlokas where Bhishma speaks about Kimekam Devatam Loke, when Yudhishthira asks what is the Devata that should be sought, so all those explanations or answers that Bhishma gives is in what is in accord with Vedanta. So Vishwam Vishnur, Vishwam Vishnuhu, Vishwam, the entire world is Brahman. How is the world Brahman? The world devoid of Nama Rupam is Brahman. The Mithya Jagat is Brahman as is Adhishtanam. Then how is that possible if Vishwam, if the entire world is Brahman as the substratum, then what pervades the world? What is in the world? Vishnuhu or Brahman pervades the world. So Vishwam, the world is Brahman as substratum. So are the Namarupam Brahman? Namarupam has to be pervaded by Brahman because Namarupam is unreal. That is explained by Vishnuhu or Vishnuhu, Vishnum Vyapana Shilam. That's how Shankara defines. So even Vishnu Sahasranama speaks about it, but a person who doesn't know the meaning, he'll just chant, it will just purify the mind, it will give worldly powers, it will give trouble as well along with the worldly powers, because Anything in the world, yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yone evate. Whatever bhogam, whatever sensual pleasure a person gets from sense object, a contact with sense object is filled with sorrow because it is a seed of sorrow, therefore it will lead us to sorrow. So a person who chants Vaishnava Sahasranama or Lalita Sahasranama without knowing the import, without knowing that Brahman or Brahma Satyam is what is to be focused, after negating the world, after knowing the world to be mithya, such a person will be deluded. Such a person will get worldly pleasures, and along with worldly pleasures, he will get sorrows. So when he gets sorrows, he will again go to Devi, again seek Vishnu. Some temporary relief will happen. Again another problem will come. So it will go on. So the purpose of learning the meaning of Lalita Sahasranama is to understand that Devi who is vouched, Devi who is spoken about in Lalita Sahasranama is the same as Nirguna Parabrahman. But that Devi, that Nirguna Parabrahman can be considered to be Sagunam for a person's under better understanding. And that Saguna Brahman is Tripura Sundari, who is the mix of all the three forms. So many Namas may speak about Devi or Tripura Sundari as Parvati, as the wife or consort of Shiva or Paramashiva, whatever it is. But that is a form. So any form is fine at the Vyavaharika level. For serving people in the world, a form is fine. So even Shankara and Krishna, Krishna himself had to take a form in order to instruct people. So that is fine. As long as we know that the form is unreal, we can use the form to as much what we or as much we want. So whatever the form serves, whatever purpose the form can serve us, we can use it. So the form helps me in concentration. The form helps me in doing dhyanam, thereby warding off other thoughts. The form helps me in always having devotion. The form helps me in instigating knowledge, because the more and more I learn, the more and more I know about Devi, I can please Devi and I can make Devi appear in front of me. So such things are fine. So as long as a person understands that the underlying reality or the ultimate reality is Nirgunam without any form, it is fine. So the various namas of Devi may speak about the form or at the Vyavaharika level, but ultimately Devi that is who is spoken about here is Nirguna Parabrahman. And if we know that, then we'll be able to concentrate more and more on Brahma Satyam. So the advantage is that a person who understands a person who understands that the underlying reality or the underlying principle of Lalita Sahasranama is Nirguna Parabrahman, such a person will always be able to see the form of Devi everywhere and know that to be Nirguna Parabrahman. Thereby, such a person will always remember Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya. A person who knows the meaning of Lalita Sahasranama can never consider the world to be real. A person who knowingly chants Lalita Sahasranama will never be able to get deluded in the world, because Mithya Jagat Adishthanai Namaha. Om Mithya Jagat Adishthanai Namaha. Devi is the Adishthanam of Mithya Jagat. That is one of the Nama that speaks about Devi. So even after knowing that, if a person does that, then he doesn't know it rightly. He doesn't know in the right way. Therefore, knowledge of these Namas will help us in concentrating or contemplating on Brahman and considering the world as Mithya. And considering the world as Mithya, we don't really need to get out of the world in order to negate the world. For negation of the world by coming out of the world is impossible, because we are in the world now. As long as we are in the world, we cannot come out of it. So the only way to get out of the world is by seeing that, by knowing that there is no world. So that world which is not there cannot be removed or negated completely, but its negation is the knowledge that the world is unreal and Brahman alone is real. So any moment we forget this truth of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, we forget to focus on Brahma Satyam, after negating the world, after knowing that the world is unreal, then we will have a fall down. And such a fall down will not help us in the spiritual path, though we may be chanting Lalita Sahasranama or we may be going to any Mahatmas. Going to Mahatma or going to various discourses will not help as long as we don't remember this truth about two things, Brahman and Jagat. Those are the only two things that are available for us. Like, and the more and more we get convinced about Brahma Satyam and Jagat Mithya, Jagat will not affect us. Though we may be in the Jagat, we may be doing activities, yet we will not be affected by the Jagat. If we are not affected by the Jagat, then that is what is called as Moksham. Moksham is that state when a person understands Jagat Mithya, he is unaffected by the world, thereby he is always focusing on Brahman. That is what Krishna calls as Jnana Karma Sannyasam, 4th chapter. Karma Sannyasam, or getting out of all activity, or Sannyasam. In the 5th chapter he speaks about Karma Sannyasam, renouncing action. So, against the normal belief that renunciation of action is when a person takes sannyasam, external sannyasam, Krishna says there are only two ways for sannyasam, karma sannyasam. How? Either you be a sakshi or you offer everything to Ishvara. Both ways, even if you are a sakshi, if you have to know that I am not the doer, I am the sakshi, that means you know that the world is unreal and I am the Sakshi Brahman. So that means you know Jagan Mithya and Brahma Satyam. And if you are offering to Ishwaras, then also you need to know that, okay, I as an individual is unreal, Ishvara is real. Who is Ishvara? Ishvara is that person who pervades everything. So that pervasive Ishvara or Vishnu is none other than Brahman, because Brahman alone pervades the entire universe. So that means there also you know that everything is Brahman. When you know that everything is Brahman, then Jagat automatically becomes Mithya. Jagat Mithya comes with everything being Brahman. If everything is Brahman, then the difference, or the difference between objects which we term as world or Lokam or Jagat, becomes unreal. So both those ways that Krishna gives about Karma Sannyasam also focuses on Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya. If we don't focus on Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya, then we will get into the trouble of analyzing, oh, external sannyasam, how should I take sannyasam, how shouldn't I take sannyasam, how can I be the sakshi, how can I offer everything, if I have to offer, do I have to offer to Krishna or Shiva, do I have to offer to Amma or Sai Baba, do I have to offer to Shankara or any other acharya. All those doubts, all those confusions will arise if we don't know that the essence or the basic principle of following both, of following either the Jnana Margam of Sakshi Bhavam or offering Bhakti Margam of offering everything is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So both depend on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Either knowingly we concentrate on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, or we will be forced to do it in either of the path. So therefore that is also Karma Sannyasam. You don't need to get away from the world. You don't need to get out of karma. Then what should you do? Jagat Mithya. The moment you know that Jagat is Mithya, you know that karma is Mithya. The moment you know karma is Mithya, then you will be able to do karma without getting affected by karma, because it's like sleeping daily. You go to sleep daily, though you know that you may get bad dreams, yet you don't worry because you know that the dream is unreal. Similarly, when you know that karma is unreal, you will be able to do karma more and more in a better way by not getting affected by the karma. So there is akartrutvam, or there is no kartrutvam, or kartrabhavam is not there, karta is not there, as well as you don't seek any phalam because you already know that it is an illusion. Thus, that is real karma sannyasam, when a person knows that the world is unreal and focuses on Brahma Satyam, which is the purpose of chanting Lalita Sahasranama after learning the Nama, so that it is a mananam. It helps in mananam as well as nididhyasanam. Ultimately, it helps in nididhyasanam. It helps in always remembering Jagan Mithya and Brahma Satyam. So the next Nama, the 5th Nama of Devi, is Devakarya Samudhyatha. So Devakarya Samudhyatha. So what is the purpose of Devi? So Devi Astra Prasundari. Why did Devi Astra Prasundari arise? How did the form of Devi arise? Like Brahman is Nirgunam. Brahman doesn't have any purpose. Then why did it come? Why did Devi take a particular form of Tripurasundari and came to the 14 worlds or whatever? So that was to serve Devakarya Sam Udyatha, helping or fulfilling Devakaryam, fulfilling the needs of Devas, which is killing various asuras like Bandasura, Mahishasura, etc. So it is for serving the purpose of Devas. So Devi took the particular form, Tripurasundari was born, Tripurasundari came into this entire world in order to serve the purpose of Devas. So that is the normal meaning. So if you go a little bit deeper, you can say that Devas or Deva, Deva word is derived from the root div, which means light or luminous. So in Vedantic terminology, Devas also point to sense organs. So the various sense organs are also called Devas. So the sense organs, if the sense organs need any activity, so like say if the sense organs have to function, then when the sense organs start functioning, when chit or consciousness gets reflected in the intellect, and the intellect along with the antahkaranam propels or makes the sense organs work, thereby getting the sense objects. So Deva Karya Sam Udyata. So the very purpose of Devi, very purpose of self or Brahman, being the Jiva or coming into this world, is to fulfill the purpose of the sense organs. That means the very essence of the self in this particular complex, though it may be unreal, yet in this unreal complex, the purpose of the self, purpose of Brahman, purpose of Devi is for sensual pleasure, is for functioning of sense organs. So functioning of sense organs can be two. One is when the sense organs are going outside. So the sense organs go outside and they experience sense objects. They experience, or you can say they enjoy sense objects. So that is one. And then the other one, the purpose of sense organs is by their controlled activity and becoming introverted, thereby leading them back to their source, leading them back to their source of the self. So that those are the two purposes. One is for an ajnani, for a laukika, and one for a person who is in the spiritual path, for a sadhaka. A sadhaka controls and diverts the sense organs into its own source, trying to realize the self, whereas the other person tries to enjoy. So then you can ask, okay, if that is the case, then why did it, like you say that Devi came to serve sense organs or functioning of sense organs, if that is the case, then why did Devi itself come at all? Before Devi coming, sense organs were there. How did they come? So such questions are futile, because there will be no answer, because sense organs are unreal. So since the state that we are in now is that we perceive sense organs, we experience sense organs, that means sense organs are there for us. So since sense organs are there, the purpose of Devi to come into each individual as the Sakshi Kudastha, as well as then getting reflected as the Jiva, is for the functioning of the sense organ. So Katha Upanishad gives a similar view in when it says that paraanchi kahani vyatranat swayambhuhu, paraanchi kahani vyatranat swayambhuhu, the Ishvara created sense organs and the sense organs went outside, therefore he cursed them that they will not be able to go introverted, they will always be going outside. So it's a very similar thing, but here we can say that the Devi's form, Devi's very form, or that particular limited Devi or the Jiva Devi or individual self or Devi in each one of us is serving the purpose of functioning of sense organs or Devas. And at a cosmic level we can say that Devi came because Devi as Hiranyagarbha or Devi as Brahma is the main cause of functioning of the gods or the various gods who preside over the sense organs. That can be another way of telling or trying to explain in a Vedantic way that Devi's very purpose, Devi's taking a particular form or Devi becoming Sugunam is in order to function the sense organs. But the real functioning, the sense organs become complete, become perfect when they merge into the self of, into their source of self. That is when a person realizes. So that's another interpretation, Vedantic interpretation, though Bhaskara Raya doesn't speak about it. He just says that Deva, Deva Karya Samudhyata, Devi was born to kill various asuras. That's the purpose of Devi. So that is Deva Karya Samudhyata. The next nama says Udyadhanu Sahasrabha. So the next nama, this the previous nama of like Devakarya Samudhyata spoke about Devi's purpose. The purpose of Devi, which is like killing various asuras, helping the devas, and in another way like serving or functioning the sense organs. And so that spoke about Devi's Udbhavam, how Devi was born. So if Devi was born, then what is her nature? So the next question will be, I know Devi is born, but now tell me what is the nature of Devi, what is the inherent nature of Devi. So Udyadbhanu Sahasra Abha. Abha, Devi is shining, Devi is glowing. Like what? Udyadbhanu. Udyadbhanu, thousand bhanus, a thousand suns, and sahasrabha, there thousands of rays. So the thousand rays coming out of thousand suns, such glorious is Devi. So Devi is so shining, it can be compared with thousand suns and the thousand lights that come out of the sun. So this means Devi is more brighter than the sun. So in Shastras, sun or similar thing is the brightest thing that is possible. Yosa vasav purisha soham asmi. So the purisha in sun is me. So that means sun is the ultimate that we can consider, like the light that we can assume or think or comprehend. So Devi is brighter than that. So this is what Vedanta says, asnatatra suryo bhatni chandra tarakam and yada aditya gatam tejo jagat bhasayate kilam natad bhasayate suryah na shashanko na pavakah. So it all speaks about Devi as the light of all lights. So Devi is the light of all lights. Jyotisham api tad jyotihi tamasaparam uchyate jnanam neyam jnana gamyam hriti sarvasya vishtitam. Gita says Jyotisham api tad jyotihi, it is the light of all lights. So Udyadbhanu Sahasrabha means Devi is brighter than the sun, which means one way of telling is, okay, Devi's luminosity is more than the sun. That is a normal interpretation, but what is really meant here is Devi is the light of all lights. Devi is more brighter than sun. That means Devi derives light from sun. Sorry, light, sun derives light from Devi. It's like telling that the bulbs that we have gain their power from electricity, which in turn is finally electricity or any source of light can be traced back to sun. So that's how I think science generally says that any source of energy that we have can be traced to sun. So that means like any light that we have can be traced to the brighter source, which is sun. So if Devi is brighter than sun, that means Devi is the source of sun, that means Devi is the light of all lights. And since Devi is so bright, Devi is none other than Parabrahman. So it's also a way of going back. Lalita Sahasranama is like careful, or the Rishi Hayagriva is very careful. What he says is, he said, okay, Deva Karya Samudhyata. Devi was born to serve purpose of Devas. So Devi came to this world in order to kill Asuras and help the Devas, or serve the purpose of sense organs, whatever it is. But still Devi was born. So if Devi was born, then Devi will be unreal, and Devi will not be equivalent with Brahman. If you think so, no, that is not so. Why? Because Udyat Bhanu Sahasrabha, Devi is bright. Devi is so bright that Devi is consciousness in nature. So Chitis Tatpada Lakshyartha Chide Ekaras Rupini Chittihi. So Devi is Chit, and all, like, there are many other namas which we learned which speaks about Devi as consciousness. So here it means that though it is said that Devi takes a particular form and comes to this world, that is only at the Vyavaharika level. Ultimately, Devi is Udyat Bhanu Sahasrabha. That means, though Devi may be born, that is unreal. So the substratum of the real Devi is still consciousness, which means Devi has come to serve the purpose of Devas, various Devatas, yet she is Brahman. That means that it's like telling Devi. Devi comes into each and every individual to serve the functioning of sense organs, yet she is Kutastha. So she is Kutastha, which means she is Nirguna Parabrahman, she is the same. So though she may be present in Jagan Mithya, Mithya Jagat, to serve various purposes, yet she is the substratum. So it's like telling that I am part of the world. How am I part of the world? I am part of the world because the world is an illusion in me. Brahman is part of the world because Brahman is the substratum. Brahman is the reality behind the illusory world. That means Devi is in the world as Kutastha Brahman. She is one with Brahman. That means that it's also another way of telling that though we speak about Devi, a particular form, a particular type of worship, a particular sagunam, a sakaram, etc., yet Lalita Sahasranama speaks about Devi as Chit, as Brahman, as Kutastha Atman, which is the Satyam Brahman. So if we remember even this one nama of Udyat Bhanu Sahasrabha, we will know that Devi is Nirguna Parabrahman. And Devakarya Samudhyata and Udyat Bhanu Sahasrabha, if a person is able to remember both together, then that means Jagan Mithya and Brahma Satyam become very clear. And if it becomes very clear, then a person will be able to concentrate on Brahma Satyam. And more we concentrate on Brahma Satyam with the knowledge that Jagat is Mithya, then that is called Jivan Mukti. The more and more we do that, we will finally achieve the state of Jivan Mukti. And that is what is the purpose of Lalita Sahasranama. So if we forget that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya is the ultimate truth that is propounded even in Lalita Sahasranama, if we forget it and chant Lalita Sahasranama, we will only gain Chitta Shuddhi. But if we remember that, it helps in Mananam, it helps in Nididhyasanam, it will directly give us Jivan Mukti. It will make us a Jivan Mukta. It will make us always rejoice in bliss, which is the sole purpose of life. We'll continue with the next namas in the next day. Hare Krishna.